We need to think how we are going through this transition from our ego, from our nature, from our earthly, corporeal one of this world that's controlling us, and in a more clear, more concealed way, but nevertheless controlling us in everything. Our ego is simply our pharaoh. And this is what it does. It rules 100%, except for one thought, one point we have called the point in the heart, which connects us with the Creator. And through this point, we need to turn to the Creator and ask for Him to take us out of the control of Pharaoh, from that edge of that rope there. And that's what we want to ask for. So we need to think about this period of time we're going through, with this coronavirus, with sitting in our homes, with the fact that we're under such states that are unique, and this is a period that is prior to the Exodus from Egypt. And we aim and prepare with you to exit Egypt, to exit the control of our will to receive, which differentiates between us, towards a connection. As this connection between us, as we begin to feel, is considered that we're exiting Egypt and we're moving to the land of Israel, to a desire aimed towards Yashar Kel, direct to the Creator. So there's Egypt, which is the current state still, where each of us is under his own ego. And there's the land of Israel, the desire which is aimed direct to the Creator. And to move from Egypt to the land of Israel is actually from one desire to another, is called the exit from Egypt. And this exit is involved with several actions. Let's hope that we go through this soon, and our desire will be aimed towards the Creator within the kli called neshama, soul, and in such a way we will merit to see, feel, and live on a different level of life in a superior land. So let's see what we have here to do in order to make. Meaning we have several points here. The first point is that we want with you, each of us wants to emerge out of Egypt, out of his ego, to simply leave his way of seeing life that I want for myself, and that I only think about myself and care for myself. That's my nature. I was born with it, and with it I exist. And hey, what can I do? And then I come to, through the awakening of my point in the heart, that I want to leave it. At first, I want to leave one world and enter the other because I think it's good. Well, the fact that it's good, then, well, good. But later, we begin to understand that exiting one world to another, from Egypt to Israel, are two levels that Egypt is concerned for oneself, and Israel is concerned for the Creator, to the extent in which I can bring him contentment. And for us to truly aim for the Creator and not spin it all back to myself, the Creator gives a sign that if you think not about yourself but about others, then that's a sign that you're directed, aimed towards me. Meaning he purposely shattered the desire he created into many desires. And then shows us that we're only thinking about ourselves, each of us. But if I want to be aimed to the Creator, I must think about others. And then through my thought about others, I come to thinking about the Creator. And then I and the Creator become equal, similar, as to the extent that he thinks about me, and he does so 100%, I also, to a certain extent and a certain percentage, think about him. And by this, I open up the Creator. I feel him. I am close to him, connected to him. And then there's a connection between us. Meaning, to the extent in which I become connected to humanity, to the society, to everyone, to that extent, I am aimed to the Creator and feel him. That's the entire exit from Egypt. That is the whole process we have to go through. But there are many changes on this process, many points along the way. This is what the whole Torah speaks about. The whole method of the wisdom of Kabbalah is to move a person through all these points from his fundamental, initial ego to completely resembling the Creator 100%, called the end of correction. This is what we need to do, and right now we are somewhere along the way. No longer the beginning, as in the beginning we were all as resembling beasts, meaning without an understanding that we're even in our egos, in the will to receive. And slowly, slowly, we're advancing. Today, we already feel that there's a society as a means, that through it, I need to, if I want to come to the Creator, and there's my ego controlling me, called Pharaoh, and I need to emerge out of my ego and run away from it, which is called the exit from Egypt. And I need to invert my ego to, in order to bestow, to bestow through the reforming light called Torah, and to the extent in which my ego becomes from in order to receive to in order to bestow, that's considered that I am moving from Egypt to the land of Israel. And along the way, there are many changes, stations. Meaning, how does the Creator help a person? By shining upon him with a special force called the upper light. And by this force called light, the will to receive of a person begins to change. And those parts in the will to receive of each of us, when they begin to be also in order to bestow, that's called the holy soul, which awakens in a person through the influence of the upper light. The egoistic desire partially moves to becoming in order to receive. This is called that instead of an impure soul, now comes to a person a holy soul.
This is the meaning of what was said, he who comes to purify is aided. And the Zohar asks, with what? It replies, with the holy soul. It follows that the meaning of, and they made their lives bitter, means that they did not let him work in order to bestow, which yields dvikut, adhesion with a life of lives. Instead, the klipa of Egypt and Pharaoh governed the children of Israel with their governance of self-love, so they could not do anything against the Egyptians' will. This was the exile, that they wanted to come out of this exile but could not. Accordingly, the meaning of what is written, and the children of Israel sighed from the work.
But why does the Creator do it such that the exile will be so harsh, such that we will have difficulty leaving it? So we see this in our life too, that egotistically I want to be asked. And then when I'm asked, then after I'm asked, okay, then I give what is asked for. The Creator, it's not a matter with his pride, but because if we ask a lot, then we ask hard. To that extent, we adhere to Him, and then we can rise to Him in greater height, in greater force, in greater resemblance to Him. Therefore, it's not immediately that a person influences and succeeds to convince the Creator to help him, but again and again and again he asks and asks, like a little child that kind of nudges and nudges until the Creator does. But we need to not forget that these requests accumulate together. They don't disappear. Not one request, not one address, with crying, without crying, doesn't matter how. All our appeals to the Creator through the society, even as much as it is through the society and as much as it's aimed at the Creator, all these addresses accumulate together. This is called a penny, and another penny adds up to a great sum. And then eventually we succeed and the Creator gives us help by illuminating upon us the upper light. And then our ego becomes the opposite. It becomes this is for Israel. And this is why Rabash says here, I am reading in the article where he says that while they went on the way of Egypt, which is in order to receive, the body would give them fuel, and then they would think that it's the Creator that's helping them. And it wasn't hard for them to work with the way of the Creator, because they knew that the Egyptians were the Creator's workers, as our sages wrote about them taking 600 of the vehicles, and they stood there on the Egyptians, but it was said they stood with all of the matter of Egypt, and with the fear of the words of the Creator. As it's written, those who fear the words of the Creator, that are the servants of Pharaoh, as that was the part of Israel, those who would grasp the desires of man that wanted to then exit, and they said, no, it's not worthwhile to completely leave. We will remain here. We see this in ourselves, that we do decide that we want to emerge and love the friends, and through the friends come to the love of the Creator and to rise above in our nature. We're deciding on this. Well, when we start to do that, we immediately feel how this stops us and gives us a little bit, even partially, to hold on to in order to bestow, and the rest in order to receive. And then this work that we did in order to bestow, we connected with friends, we did something, we studied. All of that becomes later a klipa. But also this klipa helps us eventually. It's an army that was swallowed and spat out. Meaning this whole klipa overcame and stole from us. Later we receive it back and come to the end.
Kill those thoughts.
Meaning the main thing is the intention. We need to change our attitude, our desire, to in order to bestow. Certainly I can divide it to many people, all kinds of things, sweets and gifts. And it might be that it won't influence me in any way. But there must be here an intention of why, for what I'm doing this. If I'm doing it in order to be acceptable in their eyes, for them to see me as an important person who's giving them, caring for them, that's one thing. But if I do it in order to emerge out of my will to receive and to acquire the desire to bestow, I immediately feel the extent of my resistance of my ego and my nature, which doesn't let me do a thing. The first question. Why are the Egyptians called the servants of the Creator?
We spoke about it. The Egyptians are not the Egyptians that you see in Egypt. The Coptic, Arabs and all that. No. The Egyptians are the will to receive, the desires to receive in us that resist coming out of Egypt. Yehudim, the Jews, are our desires to receive that do wish to come out of Egypt and to unite with the Creator. So there are those of the Egyptians that are somewhere in the middle between the Egyptians and Israel, meaning they want specifically to even prevent, hold back the people of Israel from coming out of Egypt. They are called the mixed multitudes. If you go to page 147, column 1,
he writes,
what you read before, Rav?
Yeah, and to work. It is known that the Egyptians were the workers of the Creator. Just understand, everyone, friends, all over the world, we are not dividing people according to what we have today, nations, different groups. You're a Spaniard, I'm German, he's Russian, I'm Jewish. No, it's not like that. The wisdom of Kabbalah does not divide humanity into such groups of people, of nations. The division is totally different. The wisdom of Kabbalah speaks only to those desires, not even people, those desires that yearn to reach adhesion with the Creator. They are called Israel. And those who do not yearn for it completely, thoroughly, are called Egyptians. Those who disturb them from reaching adhesion with the Creator are called the mixed multitudes, and so on and so forth, meaning that the division is not according to your ID or your passport. In fact, we have concluded.
We can move to the second article that you talked about the matter of environment.
I don't know, it might be too much. I just want to clarify. And all those desires, Egyptians, Jews, Israelis, mixed multitudes, they're all found in a single person. Because a person, man, is a small world. So we don't divide it according to, oh, he's Italian, he's Spanish, he's something else. No, we consider only a person's will to receive. Where is he aimed at? How distant he is from the correction or close to the correction? How willing he is to change or not, or unwilling? That is our entire work. This is our entire division. So for me, it's not important who's before me. The faces I see, yellow, white, black. Truly, no. What's important to me are the desires. The desires in a person. He has all the desires. After the mixing and the shattering, we have all the desires in us. So in each and every one, we need to help them to raise in him, to strengthen in him the desire aimed at the Creator. And all the other desires, a little lower than that. And this way we help one another sort, each one sort himself out and
for love of friends.
We seemingly
keep going
back again to the society, to love of friends, but there's no other way, no choice. Everything happens there. Whether we want to hear it or not, everything is taking place there, so we should not get away from this topic. We should look at it as if we're seeing it with fresh eyes for the first time, because we see that till the end of correction, we will discover that the connection between us
at the end of the article, Rabash writes that a person has to adhere to the group. How to understand that I'm adhered to the group, or what's missing? In order for me to adhere to the group, how do we examine these things?
Yes, it's that you, after any criticism, any relationship you have with the group, you discover that you love them. That's all. It's like with kids. You don't like this and that they do. They nag and annoy you. But altogether, they're very dear to you. That's how you measure it. This is called love covers all crimes. That there are many crimes among you, and you're not happy about a lot of their qualities, but still, you know, I love them, what can I do? You know? Because it's pieces of my own soul. With them, I come to adhesion with the Creator. And then I discover that the Creator connects us. After many years of exertion, and when we didn't make it, and we tried, and so on, ultimately, we have convinced the Creator that He has to help us, and then He does, and He connects us. And to the extent that we're connected by Him, we also feel Him in the connection between us, and specifically by being detached from each other, and then above the distance, connected to each other, yet the distance, the gap remains, and then connection is now on top of it. So by that gap between the distance we had and the connection we now have, there we feel the Creator, and He becomes revealed there through these two opposite states.
Hello, Rob. How do I know that the friends in the ten are going for Lishma?
I don't criticize them. I check how I relate to them. If the Creator brought you to the group and He says, take it, then after that, I don't criticize what they do. I only criticize myself.
Why is it that people that I think about outside of the ten, that they're...
Outside of the ten, I don't check anyone. They don't exist for me. They exist only in a corporeal fashion of this world. That's it.
Inside the ten, I have to say the Creator brought him, so for me, he's aimed at Lishma.
Of course. What's the question?
Can I ask one more question?
Yes.
If I see friends that no matter how much I try to push them, they remain the same state, do I have to let them go? Or it's not up to me to let them go, to leave them?
I don't understand you.
Friends that don't keep the rules of the group
according to how you understand, maybe they do.
Okay, according to my scrutinies, but my question is, should I keep pushing them toward the goal or let them be?
If you exist in the group and they come to study and ultimately, all in all, in general, they follow externally everything they need to, you cannot leave them. You're forbidden to leave them.
What does it mean to keep things externally?
That they come to the lessons, they come to the gathering of friends, you speak together several times a day when you gather in some Zoom meeting or something. And all of that, if you have connection with them and they carry out these meetings and lessons, etc., you cannot leave them because the Creator brought you to them and you have to carry it out. And especially in our time, to be with the society is an opportunity. It's an opportunity that we've received in a very special way, that the Creator is literally pulling us to Him. Just pulling us to Him. And you're asking about this. I'm not paying attention to what anyone is doing. Besides, if he belongs to the same process, more or less, understands more or less, I can't do this criticism anymore. What's important for me is just to be connected to everyone who have some inclination to it. And trust me, you're in a special state. We're in a state called the Exodus from Egypt. And this Exodus from Egypt is not like the group of Abraham had. This is an exit of becoming the representatives for the whole of humanity. We are here as we represent all nations, all cultures, everything you want. And we all want to come out of our ego and connect to the Creator. And the Creator is doing it for us. Look at what He did, including this virus and everything else. It's all to our benefit. There's no coincidence here. And you're asking whether you can leave them or not leave them?
Рав, скажите, пожалуйста, что значит бросить товарища в
рев? Рав, what does it mean to leave the friend in the river if he doesn't respond? If he's to some extent with us, or how do you connect these things together? How do they go together?
If he comes to meetings and study, and he's with us, and maybe he doesn't understand things that well, I am forbidden to throw him away. I have to carry him more and more. And there's no such thing that he understands more or less what it means, the connection in the group. There are people, and actually lofty souls, great souls, who cannot comprehend, digest this idea right away, because they are heavy, heavy souls, with a heavy will to receive, that is. And that's why we need to carry them. We need to carry them. Like, think about the example of mountain climbers or somewhere in the ocean, swimmers. You have to carry them, carry him, on the condition that he's with you all as much as he understands, as much as he understands. And if you cannot carry him with you, then you have to start, you have to assemble a meeting here and discuss it and see whether it's worthwhile to do it or not. Maybe for him, look, Rabash basically explains to us, if he really harms, but if his behavior is more or less passive, leave it alone. Keep working with him, and you cannot get rid of him.
Is the connection with the Creator possible only through the friends or directly too?
It's like turning the knob on the radio to be attuned to a certain frequency. You have to turn the knob to be aimed at the frequency or the radio station. So it only happens as you merge with everyone, with the right environment, with the other 9 friends. You are the 10th, and you direct yourself to them. They are like the first 9 sefirot, and you are below them, and you're trying to connect with this and this and this and this and that with all the other 9. When you connect with them this way, in a way that you're devoted to all of them and you want to support and help all of them, then through that, all of a sudden, boom.
Good morning, Rav. Today, something very strange happened to me. This virus caused us to corporeally be disconnected. Today, before the lesson, I really felt the urgency, the concern, the feeling, the need. I was really concerned for all the friends and the world Kli that they'll be on the lesson, and it was so strong that I couldn't fall asleep. I woke up really early and I couldn't fall asleep again. I was so concerned. And it's something that I never felt before.
I envy you. I envy you. This is a very beautiful feeling. I know what it is, but still, it's worthwhile for all of us to be envious at this. You hear, everyone? This is called until I cannot sleep. Until it doesn't let me sleep. We even have such a song, don't we? Yes, we do have such a song. We'll see if we can find it quickly and put and play it. Okay, we'll be happy to play it. In the meantime, I'm happy to hear this. And this is already a part of the redemption. Having such a concern for the friends is already for certain a big part of the redemption. Alright, maybe we'll continue if they haven't found the song yet.
We can read the Arvut article.
Yep.
So, moving to the Arvut article, Bala Sulam, you can find this on KabbalahMedia.info or in the ratings of Bala Sulam. The Arvut, item 25.
ויתגלה כמו יום, הנה כתוב והכתבו יומם ולילה, הוא ראשון והוא אחרון, הכל דיבור שלו, הוא מצייר את עולמי, הפרטים של נשמתי, הוא נסתר אחרי כולם, באוויר ביבשה ובים. לא מניח לי לישון, לא מניח לי לישון, עד שיבוא ויתגלה כמו יום. לא מניח לי לישון, לא מניח לי לישון, עד שיבוא ויתגלה כמו יום. ונענע את הכלי, מרעיד את עולמי, הוא רוצה להתגלות, רק שאני לא מוכן לראות. לא מניח לי לישון, לא מניח לי לישון, עד שיבוא ויתגלה כמו יום. אומרים שאין עוד מלבדו, שאין אחר ממנו, שמנהל כאן את הכל. אומרים שאין עוד מלבדו, שאין אחר ממנו, שמנהל כאן את הכל. לא מניח לי לישון, לא מניח לי לישון, עד שיבוא ויתגלה כמו יום. לא מניח לי לישון, לא מניח לי לישון, עד שיבוא ויתגלה כמו יום.
מה בדיוק אנחנו צריכים... רב, what exactly do we have to pass on to the nations of the world? How can we be that remedy that the Creator is expecting us to be?
We have to be the intermediate step between all of humanity and the Creator. We are in between, This is BB. And here is humanity. Right? And above is the Creator.
ולמעלה זה הבורא, אז אנחנו צריכים להיות באמצע, בין האלו.
So, we need to be in between. Very simple.
לאנושות.
We have to turn downwards with a question mark towards humanity, see what they want, receive a deficiency from them, clothe their deficiency in our deficiency and raise both to the Creator. Receive from the Creator the upper force for both us and the whole of humanity in order to give to humanity. We have to receive a force that for ourselves and also can deliver it to the rest of humanity. We grow only on the condition and to the extent that we raise man for the whole of humanity. And this is our question towards humanity, that's dissemination. And receiving from humanity what they want. Within our question is their question. And we raise both questions together. This is one and this is two. And we get from them. We get through them the first and second force. One of it stays with us. And that's how we grow. And the second, we pass it on to humanity. That's how we clothe this into that. And we ourselves don't need anything. We only grow to make them grow. We only grow to pass on deficiencies to the Creator. So we take the minus from humanity to us, and then from us to the Creator. And then, from there, we receive the positive force, plus.
And what is this covenant that we have to keep between us and the system?
That we, here, in this system, we are as one because the Creator is one. And when we receive humanity, we include them in us. So they also become as one.
The one that we have to become, it's even before we go out to humanity?
Of course. But that's us. That's the ten. Yeah. And then we can perceive deficiencies from humanity, even if they're mixed up and different and diverse. We have to sort them out and thus raise that to the Creator. There is what's called the first man, the secondary man, the brewing of the man, the preparation of the man. But the whole process is this. And even though
Rav, it seems that the world demands Kabbalistic explanation in regard to what's happening. And also yesterday, in the talk that we had with, in the talk you had with Simeon, you said that everyone has to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. Can you confirm that this is how it really is, that we can already disseminate as Bnei Baruch?
I think that this coronavirus lets us see that all our businesses are not working well, working correctly, and our life is mismanaged. Our education that we give to our children is also incorrect. We have to understand that the world needs to follow a new method of connection. And we have to, in order to bring ourselves to that state, we're capable. There's a method. There's a system. The upper force sends us disturbances deliberately so that we remove ourselves from imaginary businesses. And we start building our life in a way that in the spiritual world and in this world, there will be no difference. There's no life and death. The death is a death of the will to receive. That's the only thing we'll feel. That's it. And that's what we're facing. I'm certain that we'll all succeed. I'm sure of it. We just have to see that we advance from day to day more and more in understanding and connecting between us, in disseminating to the broad public, in raising the deficiencies of the public. Even it's corona related and all those things, it doesn't matter. We raise these deficiencies to the Creator and ask the Creator for the cure. And it doesn't matter how He delivers the cure. I don't dictate to Him what cure to bring, against the virus or against our ego. Later on we'll see it's the same. It's the same. There's nothing harmful except our ego. Right now, it's dressed inside this virus. We just don't recognize it, but we will.
And is asking about the sketch. What does one, what does it mean?
The Creator is one because there's none else besides Him. We are as one because we want to connect between us and become as one. So there's no difference between us. We can't be broken apart. We are one even though we are 10. And after that, let's say we are 100 and then 1,000. And so on. And still, we will all be as one. And by that, we'll have an opportunity to perceive the Creator and on the first degree. But it's like this. It's all one, but in spirituality, it's one to the power of more and more and more. Meaning, we attain His internality more and more. We'll get to this mathematics later on. It doesn't matter, but it's gonna be felt. For us, it's going to be understood. These numbers will be felt for us. It'll be clear to us that we give this, we receive that, etc. And how much the connection between us reveals.